Hello friends and welcome to the latest edition of the Kings of Anglia podcast, brought to you from the secret bunker, not so secret really, in Ipswich, our new home, IO Radio, Ipswich Online Radio I believe that stands for. My name's Mark, I'm your host as ever, Mark Heath, to give you my full name. With me this week, back from a few days off, post-football season, across the table from me, looking very excited, with a microphone right in his face, is the Doctor, Stephen Watson. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. This is very proper, isn't it?
It really is.
This is a step up.
We are sounding good, sounding great, and not late. And also with us, of course, now a regular feature, is a man we like to call Producer Ross. How are you, Ross?
I'm better than I was.
Yeah, we explained last week. You probably didn't listen to it, Stu, because I know you don't listen to the podcast. But we explained that we're likely to have an illness of the week every week with Ross. Last week he had the sniffles. He managed to suppress a cough for a whole hour and then basically spewed up his lungs afterwards.
He proclaimed as we pulled up here that he felt a bit sleepy. I think you missed that when you was getting the parking ticket.
Excellent. But you might hear some snoring from Ross, who drops off. We are pretty dull, to be fair. Of course, notable by his absence is Andy Warren, the Hutch man, Hutch Hogan. He's got a week off now, and this is going to be a common theme over the summer. The boys scandalously take holiday when there's no football. Well deserved, of course. Well deserved. So, Stewie, before we get into the football, and there's lots to talk about today. You had a few days off. What have you been up to? What's been revving your engine? Give us some news, buddy.
As per usual, nothing too exciting
to
share. I don't know. It was my daughter's birthday. Yeah. We did lots of birthday
How
things.
Old is she?
She's three. So yeah, we had lots of toddlers running about and stuff like that. We went to Legoland actually on Tuesday. Loved that.
Great place, lovely place.
What's the highlight of Legoland these days?
Just all the rides and that.
Yeah.
and the models and the Lego.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's more stressful, covering Ipswich Town on a deadline with no Wi-Fi or hosting a three-year-old's birthday party?
The latter,
I'd imagine.
For sure.
Yeah. Mm. Do you just get them jazzed up on sugar and send them home, essentially?
That's exactly what you do. We made a homemade pinata.
Yeah.
So over several nights was applying the PVA glue and building up this big pinata.
So
and,
it's a pinata full of sugar,
sweets, yeah. And then just give the kids a massive stick and then just let them loose on it.
Nothing can go wrong.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
So that was fine.
And also, you're telling me this morning, Stu, I've noticed recently, I should have said, I do apologise. Looking good, my friend. Dropped a few pounds, you were telling me.
Yeah, I didn't want this to be like a public thing.
Well, it's
yeah.
public now, baby.
Well, we talk a lot about food, don't we, on this podcast. Andy and I are talking about our bad choices on the way to football. And post-Brentford, I think that was a Wednesday night game in April.
Yeah.
That was the low moment where there was a lot of sugary snacks being handed around the car around midnight. And I decided to change my ways. So you've seen I've been diligently bringing in the salad and the fruit, and it's going okay.
Yeah, it's very impressive, his lunch these days. It used to be sort of a sandwich, basically, with whatever was left in the house, wasn't it? But now you're bringing in all sorts of salad. You've got pretty much a whole fruit shop today with you.
I've escaped the tyranny of the sandwich. I think I've probably eaten a sandwich every day for the best part of a decade. So it's time to move on from that.
Yeah. Has it had an effect on the older digestive system?
Well, you've just seen me smash that salad and fruit and all sorts. So if it kicks in the next hour,
we're in trouble.
If I have to dart off, you'll know why.
Roscoe, Producer Ross, what have you been up to apart from being sick all the time?
just chilled, really.
Yeah? You've not been playing football? Not been representing Kings of Anglia from football this week?
No, we won, so we didn't need
you've
to.
You've retired now, haven't you?
Retired for the remainder of my life.
Yeah. And the other your other big passion in life, other than Ipswich Town Football Club and working with us, of course, which is the highlight of your life, is music, of course.
Yes.
So have you been to any decent gigs recently?
Sadly not, actually, because it's mainly like festival season now.
Yeah.
So if I want to, you know, go camping and stuff, but I just haven't had time to do that. So yeah.
What are the kids listening to these days?
Rubbish, to be fair. Mm. Yeah, just a lot of rubbish.
Can't be the old stuff, can you?
No. That's what I like to. I always go back to throwbacks. You've got to love a throwback.
What are you listening to at the moment? What's your go-to tune? Dead Air is a Crime.
I know. I've got a radio experience.
Yeah.
That's when I just weren't prepared for that question. Weirdly, Motley Crue.
Wow.
It's a bit random because there's a film on Netflix recently called Dirt.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I've heard about that. That's pretty hardcore, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Or it's about Motley Crue and...
Is that the one with the Ozzy Osbourne scene where he snorts the ants?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Have you seen that?
No.
And other bits and bobs, yeah. It's actually a good watch. I was worried it was going to be a bit too cheesy, but it was actually really, really good.
Very, very similar to like our sports desk.
Yeah. Very rock similar. And roll, baby.
If anything, we're more rock and roll.
Yeah.
Myself, boys, obviously you were going to ask me at some point what I've been up to. I've been professional broadcasting over the weekend, fronting, hosting, commentating, global pay-per-views, usual sort of business for me. Anyway... Enough about me, that's boring. What isn't boring is Ipswich Town, and that's what we're here to talk about. And Stu, we had some big news today. The retained player list came out. I'll say it's big news. You certainly knew what was going to happen, even if maybe not so many other people did. So just if you could just run through basically what happened, and then we can talk about it. So who's gone? Basically everyone.
Yeah, everyone who was out of contract has essentially left. I don't think there was any surprises in there. Not really sure why the club waited till today to announce it. The deadline to submit that list to the EFL was on Saturday. So I assume the guys at the club were taking advantage of their weekends off and put it out publicly this morning. But 10 players in all that are released.
So who's gone? Gherkin's gone. Adeyemi's gone. Spencer's gone. Knudsen's gone. Ward's gone. That's five. Come on, help me out here. Then we've got the kids as well, haven't we? Conor McKendry.
Chris Smith. One of the young scholars who's...
Yeah, Riley Scott, yeah.
Riley Scott, who no one's ever heard of.
James Collins.
James Collins, of course. One more.
Dawkins, isn't it?
Simon Dawkins yes. Again.
Can't remember. Yeah.
Alas, poor Simon, we didn't really know you very well. So they've all gone. And as you say, it's not a major surprise. I guess what the... Would you say Gherkin is,
I think,
is the headline?
The question marks would have probably been over Gherkin, mainly because there's serious doubt as to whether Bartosz Białkowski will still be the goalkeeper next season. Obviously signed his bumper new contract last summer. Even with a significant pay cut of 40-50%, he'll still be one of the top earners in League One next year. I think from his own personal point of view, he'll probably want to be playing at a higher level. So I could see Bart going for the right price this summer. So with that in mind, you wondered whether they would keep Dean Gherkin on as their number one goalkeeper, someone who's from Essex, likes the area, would be a more than capable goalkeeper to step up for the number one jersey. But he's been released. So we think we know who the replacement for him will be, Tomas Holy, who I think we'll talk about in a minute.
Jump the gun. Yeah.
So Dean's gone. Who were the other ones that we wondered about? James Collins. We've been talking a long time about whether pay-as-you-play type deal for him.
Do you think that
might have been
table?
An option? I think if there was something to be done there, they'd have announced it by now. We've talked a lot about how Ipswich have had so many injury-prone players, and can they really afford to take risks like that anymore? Immense when he played, but only played six times, didn't he, James Collins? So leaves them with four centre-backs in Chambers, Nsiala, and the two young lads, Wolfenden and Ndaba. So, you know, perhaps there's a theory that, you know, they don't want to block the pathway of the young ones there.
You don't think Tom Adeyemi done enough to earn a five-year deal?
Five appearances over 2 years.
Not much.
No, it's strange because I think when Mick McCarthy signed him that summer, he talked about his preferred midfield three was going to be Skews, Hughes and Adeyemi, and he felt that that was the real blend that was required. Hughes was going to be the one sort of pulling the strings, popping up late, scoring goals. Skews was going to be the holder, the sitter. And Adeyemi was going to kind of be the box-to-box man. And when he did play, I thought you could see that there was something there, but we just never got to see him. And the whole injury saga with him was bizarre, wasn't it? You know, he'd come back, he'd play for the under-23s, he'd be on the grass, he'd be training, and then there'd be a setback. And there was a moment where Paul Hurst sort of intimated that he needed to essentially man up and play through the pain a little bit more, and that's that. He's gone.
I don't know. So anything else to talk about on that front? Grant Ward.
Yeah, he's worth talking about.
We talked about maybe him doing rehab at Town, a bit like Luke Varney did.
Yeah, Luke Varney's probably the comparison that needs to be made there. If you remember, Luke Varney did his Achilles in the playoff games against Norwich. he was out of contract. Ipswich released him, but allowed him to stay on and train. And you know, I believe there's a duty of care there. You know, enshrined within the rules that you have to look after players that you release when injured. So he seems to be doing a lot of his rehab in Ipswich and Suffolk, judging by his social media. And I could see him staying, using the facilities, and you know, if he can prove his fitness, then maybe they'll look at a short-term deal with him. Because Grant Ward, has he really kicked on since he scored a hat trick on his debut?
He's funny, he peaked there.
Yeah, that sounds hypercritical, but I don't know if he has sort of really progressed beyond that. But there's, you know, for a League One player,
he's versatile, isn't he?
He's versatile. Yeah. He could play central. He could play wide. They've not got too many wide options. Mm. And he's the type of sort of dynamic, energetic player that Paul Lambert would like. So. Mm. Yeah, I wouldn't rule out him doing something with him further down the line.
Okay, time will tell on that. Ross, you got any thoughts about the retain list? You'd like to see Girk stay?
I think so, if Bart does go, and then we need a proper senior. I know we're going to go on to the other keeper, but I think he's established himself as a good shot stopper.
Everyone says that about him. Yeah. He's a good shot stopper. Isn't that basically like the number one thing that keepers should do, is stop shots?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is that brought up as something he's good at? He should just be good at that. He's a keeper.
That is very true.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a good lad as well.
Yeah, he's great catching the ball, but he can't stop shots, I'm afraid.
I would have kept Gherkin if possible, but I think
maybe because he's got a great beard like you.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
He's a good lad as well.
Yeah.
But the rest, yeah, maybe as Ward, I think maybe, yeah, but you know, if he does improve his fitness and he does get fit, maybe the possibility of him staying. But the rest, I'm not really fussed about, to be fair.
Screw him.
Just go.
Get rid of him.
Yeah. Knudsen's the one we haven't really spoken about, but the writing's long been on the wall with the onus, sort of from, I think, probably from last summer onwards, that it was clear that he wanted to move on. In hindsight, they should have done that deal then and got some money for him while they could off the back of the World Cup. The problem was that Paul Hurst takes the job and several players immediately say they want to go. You've already had Webster go. McGoldrick's already been released. Waghorn's made it clear that he wants to move on. I mean, if you then start saying to Jonas Knudsen, yeah, we'll let you go as well, you're left with very few experienced senior players. And, you know, he still played in the first half of the season, but from Christmas onwards, Lambert sort of had to make the decision he needed to look to the future. And I think Kenlock's done really well in difficult circumstances. And is he the finished article? No, but you know, given a run in the team, I've seen enough to think that he can blossom and come good for Ipswich.
Yep, Mad Dog running his bollocks off somewhere else next season. You've already hinted at it, Stu. A little segue into the next section, which I like to call transfer rumours, the sexy stuff, which we're going to be bringing you all summer long, as we speculate and kind of bring you every spit and cough of that particular section as we keep the web hits going. But yes, so first of all, Town have been linked, more than linked, they're in talks with a man whose frame is more akin to the basketball court, Thomas Holy, giant keeper, 6'9", I believe he's the third tallest keeper in the world. Tremendous.
Name the other two.
I've no idea, Stuart.
I know the tallest.
Yeah.
He plays for Dulwich Hamlet. I don't know his name, but he plays for Dulwich Hamlet, so.
Oh yeah. I suppose you do, because you're the doctor.
No, I don't. I was just testing you.
You've let me down big time. But yeah, so big Tom. Holy hell, holy moly. He's going to be coming to town, can we say? Do you reckon that's close?
Yeah. We've got no Hutch man today, and I have to give him a shout out, because he is all over the transfer stuff this year. Between us, we've managed to get a few little contacts going, but the goalkeeper situation in particular, Andy's got a decent handle on, and his talks have been pretty advanced with him now. I think pretty much there's a deal in place, and it's up to him now to decide whether he wants it or not. He played 50 odd times for Gillingham last season, and he's talked a number of weeks ago about, you know, maybe this being the time for him to move on and potentially play at a higher level. So he's got a big decision to make as to whether he comes to Ipswich, a big inverted club, club in League One, or does he hold out for someone else? Does he think that he'll be the number one goalkeeper? at Ipswich, or is he being signed purely as a sort of a straight replacement for Dean Gherkin as backup? I get the feeling that if Bart was to go, they would look for another goalkeeper as well as Holy.
6 foot 9 inches. Going to fill most of the goal.
Big pole in the goal to giant check in the net. I saw a tweet. So whoever came up with that one,
go back to drawing board.
Okay, I won't claim that as my own.
Doesn't rhyme. So yeah, you'd imagine that at 6'9", he'd be a good shot stopper, wouldn't you? I think he'd be.
To be fair, like I understand a person who goes on YouTube and watch highlights, and there's a good video of him just the highlights of him just going boom, boom,
being tall.
Yeah, being tall and. A shot stopper.
He must be good from corners, though. I bet you can't get near him at a corner. Because surely, he's gonna, with the jump as well, he's going to be...
Just need to put his hand down, isn't he? Just exactly. Go, oh, there you go.
Yeah.
You know.
But, Stu, you alluded there as well to something we I don't think we talked about last week. Hutch also broke last week. The interest in Bart. 3 championship clubs coming in for Bart. And we understand that Bart's not averse to moving on, despite all that he says about loving Suffolk. So you're saying... If that comes to pass,
mm-hmm.
which we'd think, what, likely? Or
No, I wouldn't go as far as saying likely at this moment in time. 3 championship clubs, one of which I believe to be Birmingham, again, who had a £3 million bid rejected last summer. Ipswich have got to decide what their price is, and Paul Lambert has spoken about not allowing players to leave on the cheap. There's not a huge amount of sellable assets within a squad that's just gone down bottom of the table, 13 points adrift. Bart would be top of that list. Now they've got to be sensible in terms of what they're expecting. If Marcus Evans thinks that he can get £3 million again for him, then
you ain't he's got £3 million for him now.
No, not off the back of last season. No. You know, Bart was dropped twice, well below his usual standards. A lot of things went into the mix there. I think the fact that he only had about 10 days off post World Cup, I think psychologically he'd built himself up so much to get in that squad and do his late father proud, and you know that a lot of emotional pressures around losing his dad in you know prior to that, and then Mally Webster retires, who is his footballing dad, someone he'd worked with at Southampton and a long time through Ipswich, gets that new contract. Now, subconscious or not, when you finally get that new contract under your belt, maybe you just lose a little bit of an edge. So loads of things went into the mix there. He didn't have a great season. You are not going to be getting £3 million for him now. So Ipswich have got to decide what their tipping point is for him. Goalkeepers are important. We're seeing the Liverpool and Man City spending mega money on goalkeepers now, which has not always been the way. But even so, I think it's easier to replace a goalkeeper than it is to go out and get a 20-goal-a-season striker, and that's what Ipswich Town need this summer. So if they can get some money back in the goalkeeper department and put that into other areas of the squad, I can see that happening.
Perfect segue, the professional Dr. Stephen Watson. But before we do that, Ross, how are Steve levels?
They're okay.
They're decent, because I noticed he's sitting quite a long way away from the mic. So.
Am I? Do you want me to? There we go.
There you go. You can do your whispering stuff now. But before I ask that question, you talked about the importance of a striker. And over the weekend, it came out that Will Keane had been released by Hull City. So he's out there now. What chances do you reckon Town being interested in Will Keane? Obviously, did all right, didn't he? He generally looked quite good. Excellent hair as well, we can all agree. Nice lad. But unfortunately, he's a bit made of crisps. He's a bit fragile. what are you saying on the Keane question?
It's back to the injury debate again, isn't it? Same as James Collins. How many players have we had over the last few years? McGoldrick, Hughes, Adeyemi, Ipswich have carried so many wages that have just assets that have just not been able to be utilised, and the budget is going to be severely squeezed next year. The drop in TV money is vast. We're talking a £8-9 million deficit there. Season tickets have gone well, so you know, they've dropped the prices but increased those. So the upshot of that is that, you know, financially they'll be pulling in the same sort of money from gate receipts. But, you know, they are going to have to cut the wage bill. There'll be people off field that will be losing their jobs, and they will need to trim that wage bill. So can they afford to take too many risks on injury-prone players? I think they might have just had their They might have had their fingers bitten too many times on that respect. So Wilkeen for me was a cut above when he was fit, and I thought he looked like the pedigree of player that he is, former Manchester United youth team player of the year that came through at the height of Man United, churning out top level youth players. But if you look at his record, he's rarely been able to be fit for a long period of time and score goals prolifically. It depends if they can get some kind of pay-as-you-play or some sort of financial deal that protects them against injury. But I wouldn't rule it out, but I would say that has severely diminished the chances of that with that reoccurrence of the hamstring injury towards the end of the season.
And obviously, you broke the story about Connor Washington, James Norwood as well, in terms of being heavily linked. Those two, you'd say, are what? Ahead of Keane in that particular regard?
Norwood, definitely, yeah. That's Andy's story. He's been well on the ball with that one. I think Andy did that about 7 or 8 weeks ago.
Back in March, and then it got broken, he says in inverted commas, over the weekend, didn't it? We'd done that story.
Yeah, we don't get them all, but that was one that we've been ahead of the curve with. But they need a prolific goal scorer. We've talked about someone coming in hot that's scoring goals, being the equivalent of Grant Holt at Norwich, dare I say it, when the Paul Lambert comparisons as to what he did with Norwich, taking them from League One through. Lambert didn't sign Holt, obviously he came in after the 7-1 and inherited what he'd got, but Holt was kind of and Houlihan were the pivotal players in that team, and I can see some similarities there with Norwood in terms of being someone who could lead the line as a lone striker. And I do think increasingly that Ipswich will play 4-3-3 or a variant of it. I'm hearing that Lambert has put together various PowerPoint presentations, the Ipswich way, that are being shown throughout the club to the women's team, to the various youth teams. There's a blueprint, there's a DNA, and I think 4-3-3 is kind of at the forefront of that. And I just don't think that there's too many lone striker options amongst the ones that Ipswich have got at the moment. And looking at Norwood, he's got a bit of an aggressive edge. He can hold it up, he can bring others into play, but more importantly than anything, he knows where the back of the net is. 32 goals heading into the playoff final on Saturday. It sounds, from what we're gathering, that I think there's a deal in place there.
Exciting.
It's exciting.
Even if he comes up with Tranmere then, you think he's still on the move?
It sounds like that. I don't want to say for sure, but the noises that we're hearing behind the scenes, or that Andy's hearing, is that's almost a done deal.
So you heard it here first. The Dr. Stuart Watson guaranteeing that James Norwood will sign for Ipswich Town next week. Outstanding. Another exclusive for the Kings of Anglia podcast. Connor Washington, no update on that. That's just kind of another one out there, isn't it?
That's...
He's a free agent, isn't he now?
Yeah, he's a free agent released by Sheffield United. Northern Ireland internationals, played at a decent level. He was let go by QPR midway through the season. They sort of paid up his contract, and Sheffield United took him on for the last 6 months of the season. He was kind of a bit part substitute in their promotion. He might be one that feels he needs to drop down a level to get his career back on track. I think he ticks a lot of the Lambert boxes in terms of being versatile. He can play wide left or up front through the middle. Interestingly, he's done interviews in the past where he says he does not see himself as a lone striker, and that's been the most sort of frustrating time in his career. So I've seen him play for sort of Northern Ireland. I think in the Euros he was used sort of wide left there, and I think Ipswich could probably do with a wide left option at the moment. I'm not a fan of Alan Judge playing out there. I think he has a tendency to drift inside and doesn't cover the fullback. Not convinced that Danny Rowe or Jordan Roberts are going to come back and make that position their own. So they might be looking at Washington for that left-sided role, but that's come from within inner football circles. And, I think Ipswich are prepared to outspend other clubs in League One when it comes to wages, from what I'm hearing.
Norwood, Washington, you'd be happy with that, would you, as the two strikers they bring in?
Yeah. I think definitely, Norwood would be the goal scorer, the central lone striker, and then I think they probably need another forward option, but I think that second forward option needs to be someone that can play the wide roles as well, whether that be Washington, and that's far from, that's not nowhere near as advanced as some of these other deals that we've been talking about, but whether it's him or someone else, I think they could probably do with someone of that ilk.
Talking about Grant Holt. You've seen what Grant Holt's doing these days.
Is he still wrestling?
He's doing some wrestling, isn't he? And did you see Ross, producer Ross is a big wrestling fan.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see his fighting, I'd say fighting, in inverted commas, at Carrow Road?
Oh.
Have you seen this big event they're having at the start of June?
No.
Called Fightmare. He's there, as is Mick Foley.
Oh, good on Mick.
The legend Mick Foley, Mankind, Cactus Jack. I remember that from my youth. So, yeah.
Dude Love. That's another character. What
are you telling me?
That's another character you had, Dude Love.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were telling me you like me. Yeah, so, yeah, that'd be interesting, wouldn't it? Would it be terrible if Grant Holt got the old Mr. Socko treatment from...
No, of course not. I think everyone would want to do that.
It'd be absolutely...
It's like Billy Sharp, he did that when he...
Exactly, that's
Chef
where he got
Norwich.
It from, isn't it?
Yeah.
I heard Mick Foley talking on the radio the other day, pretending to be a Norwich City fan. Wrong.
No.
Absolutely.
No.
I digress.
I don't know what any of this means.
Stu's looking really bemused. How are you finding the old kind of diagonal... constant eye contact you've got going on?
It's a bit intense, isn't it? I'm looking forward to when Andy comes back.
Yeah,
and we don't have to stare into each other's eyes.
It is like the most intense conversation we've ever had, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's pretty cool. Any other transfer rumours, tidbits that you've got up your sleeve, Dr. Watson, before we move on? Have you heard any other bits and bobs that might be out there?
Nothing at the moment, no.
When are we expecting business to be done? Are we expecting things to be fairly swift?
Well, Lambert, like all managers, always talk about wanting to get their business done early. But I do sense that they'll want to push things along a bit quicker this year. You know, you get a decision off of player early. There won't be any of this letting players have a long old think about it. I think they'll try and move on through their targets quite quickly, because, as discussed in a lot of the post-mortem stuff, I think last season a lot of it came down to sort of time being against them and chasing their tail. You know, Hurst cut, they had to wait and wait and wait to get Hurst post playoffs. You know, then all the players that wanted to leave, they kind of messed about with Waghorn in particular till after the season had started, and then you're scrambling to get in your Nolans and Ntialas and Jacksons, and they cannot afford to be in that position again. I think they'll want to get, I don't think they'll try and do the bulk of business that they did last year. What was it, 12 under Hurst that came in the end. You know, I think it will be more like 4 or 5, and with hopefully most of those in by the time the Germany pre-season tour comes around.
Nobody does that. Nobody signs 12 players. Madness. Anyway, moving on then from the sexy transfer rumours section into something even more sexy. Mark's big question time, baby. Producer Ross, play that beautiful intro.
Mark's big question. Question.
It's nice. Even though he's not here, we get to hear Hutchie's voice. I miss you, Andy. I hope you're having a good day. Stu Pott, when you were off last week, just while I bring up the questions, the question was the best football game you've ever seen, i.e. actually physically been at. How would you have answered that question before we move on to this week's question?
Bearing in mind that pretty much the only live football I've watched over the last 8 years has been Ipswich Town.
Colchester United,
A couple of seasons of Colchester before that in League One.
But in your misspent youth, you're an Everton fan, so
yeah,
you must have seen some. You must have. Well, come on, you've seen some games.
Everton games live. The most memorable one for me was I saw Everton's brief dalliance with the Champions League after they finished fourth under David Moyes, and then. Me and my old man went out to Villarreal for the qualifying round of that, in which Pierre Luigi Collina,
slaphead
referee. Yeah.
No offence to you.
Well, exactly, yeah.
Well, not back then, though.
That was his last ever game as a professional referee, and he ruled out a perfectly legitimate Duncan Ferguson header, which would have changed the tie massively at that stage. Mikel Arteta had bent a brilliant free kick into the top corner.
Not the bitter.
You speak to any Everton fan about that still now, because Liverpool had won the Champions League. That was after Istanbul, and they had finished outside the top four that year, and suddenly the authorities were faced with five English clubs potentially. They had to change the rules that said the holders would automatically qualify.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
And I think they panicked that there'd be five English clubs in it, right. And all of a sudden Everton got the hardest qualifier possible and had some refereeing injustice go against them.
Listen to the bitterness in his voice.
That's got nothing to do with best game ever. I just thought I'd bring that up.
Also, of course, your man, Big Dunk, your man crush.
My boy.
He was wronged. So does it? But seriously, in your time covering football or watching games, there's no best game ever that stands out.
In terms of best game as a whole,
what about that?
I think a best player. I mean, I saw a lot. I used to go to a lot of the London games, and so I saw like the Arsenal Invincibles in their prime and people like that, yeah. And you know, Henry and
that
people
team was
like
unbelievable,
that.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable.
I'm trying to think of absolute classic games that I've seen. I'm really struggling off the top of my head.
I'm not saying classic, just the best game you've ever seen. The Ipswich Millwall game was pretty decent, wasn't it?
A couple of seasons ago, 4-3.
That's great. Where you and Big Brams famously were drinking Peroni after the game on the Facebook Live. Nice. We should bring that back.
Geordie Spence got the.
That's right.
The late winner, didn't
we? We should have some beers in here, boys, when we're doing this. To be honest,
there's a pub across the road, isn't there? So
we should go and do it in the. Oh, we can't do it in the pub, can we? Because we don't have all this kit, the wheels of steel.
We could do a drinking podcast where we just do drinking games and see how things progress.
Now you're talking. We'd have to go back to work afterwards, though. Which, to be fair, would probably increase.
Could be a special late night. Yeah. Thing,
yeah. Every time I ask myself a question, I have to do a shot, you know, things like that.
You'd be absolutely bloody gone after
every time you mention your broadcast professional credentials.
What about? I never mentioned that.
Three fingers of beer.
And every time Ross does a little cough or mentions being sick, shot. Yeah. So Mark's big question. Stuart Watson, do me a favour and pick a number.
Oh, that wasn't it. That was last week's one, was it?
That's what I said.
what are we up to on your list?
52.
37.
37.
Good start.
37. It's topical. It's a Suffolk-wide question. And I think the answer to this question kind of, for me, tells me a lot about who you are as a person. And the question is simply thus. Southwold or Oldborough?
Ooh.
I'll let you answer first, and I'll tell you what I think.
I don't go to either that regularly,
to be
honest.
Yeah, but if you had to choose, you must have been to... Come on, you must have been to both.
I've definitely been to Oldborough. I don't even know if I've been to Southwold.
There you go. It says it all.
I can link this up with Ipswich Town, Southwold. I'm picking Southwold because the first game of football I watch is normally in Southwold, Ipswich under-16s versus Southwold, and normally it's an entertaining game.
Why do they play that on the Common?
Yeah, common, yeah. It's just barbecue and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, good little day out.
Bit of Adnams.
Yeah.
Lovely.
So Southwold for me.
Southwold is the right answer. If you say Oldborough, you're a little bit snooty and a little bit posh. And also, the fish and chips in Oldborough, everyone tells you are amazing. You have to queue for 4 hours to get. Just as good
it's
in Southwold. Sorry to break that news. They're just as good down the road. Just not as expensive, and you don't have to stick your nose in the air while you're eating them.
I don't think I've been to Southwold, but I was underwhelmed by Oldborough for the very reasons that you've just
absolutely correct
outlined.
Answer. Yeah, not my sort of place at all, or indeed any of us. Hutchie might be a different story.
Mm.
So that's Mark's big question for another week. I enjoyed that. It told me a lot about the people I spend time with.
Just get yourself down to Old Felixstowe.
Oh, mate. Old Felix, I was saying last week.
Trekking all the way up to North Suffolk.
Yeah. Get down to the ferry boat, nice pint of Adnams, a bag of scampi fries. What could be better?
That's it.
They've also got some good fish and chips down there as well.
Amusements.
You also suffer. Amusements.
Pretty much.
It's mailbag time, baby. And we've got a lot this week. And Stu, you're going to have to do a lot of talking because you're the only one who knows what you're talking about. So, ready, steady, go. I'm going to take a picture of you at some point just to give you a heads up as well, Stu, because the people want to see the doctor in the new set.
Have we got a jingle for mailbag?
No, it's Andy's, isn't it?
Yeah, somebody.
Who's doing it?
Well, you sing.
Okay.
So it's you have to freestyle it, obviously, though, because there's no... You have to... It's
you ready?
Yeah, go for it.
I feel like I'm cheating on Hutchie by doing this.
Not for the first time.
Mailbag, mailbag. It's time for Mark, Ross and Stu to dip into the mailbag.
Aye, and he added Ross in.
I feel honoured.
Yeah, not technically correct because I won't ask Ross any of these questions. But you can chip in if you want, but not too much.
Okay.
Because as I say, Stewie's the man with the knowledge and the people. That's what they want to hear. First of all, we start with Harry Butcher, Hurricane Hazza, on Twitter. He says, I really think that Ward and Adeyemi were worth a gamble. Agreed? Question mark. Also, he says, am I a friend of the show? If not, I think that I have a very solid claim. Now, second part of that, no, Harry, you're not a friend of the show. The man who holds the keys to that particular kingdom is Hutch Warren, so he's the one you've got to bribe if you want to get into that exclusive circle in which six great men currently reside.
I don't think asking for it is
desperation.
Is looked upon particularly kindly
desperation
by
is not appealing.
That's in his hands.
Yeah, so Hazza, you've probably not done yourself too many favours there by asking about that.
But anyway, I'd let you in, Harry, but it's not my decision.
He's too nice.
He likes darts, Harry, apparently.
What?
Yeah.
Well, you're definitely not in then, Harry. Definitely not. Anyway, of course he does, actually. Looking at his avatar, his avatar is him playing darts with his own dart shirt. Right. You're out, Hazza. No, of course you're not. I love you. I really think that Ward and Adeyemi were worth a gamble. Agreed?
Adeyemi, no. Just can't keep taking gambles on injury-prone players. And they're well-stocked in central midfield now. You know, you've got Judge, Skuse, Nolan, Bishop, Dazell, Downs, Naidam. Who am I missing here? The list goes on. El Mizuni.
Big Gris.
McGavin. Yeah.
Yeah, McGavin, Dobber, if you're going to go further down. Yeah. I feel like I've missed one of the young lads there. But
Naidam, did you say?
Yeah.
You said Naidam, Downs, Dazell.
But if I'm being honest, I look through that list and I wonder if there's a real vocal leader. I know Cole Skuse is very experienced, but I don't think he's that vocal organiser on the pitch. He kind of leads by example and what he does. Mm. And physically, I don't know if they've got a real sort of midfield beast who can, you know, stand up to the physical side of things that might be required in League One, but it's a luxury they can't afford. I think it's up to Paul Lambert to kind of work with those options and get the right blend out of them. There's certainly plenty of ability in there, but you know, they're going to have to try and play football with the type of players that we've just reeled off.
Ryan Bedford, I think we've already discussed this, but I'll ask Sue anyway for you, Ryan.
I didn't answer about Grant Ward, but that's the same thing. If he can prove he's fit, keep him, but he can't be handing out deals now.
Cool. Ryan Bedford, will there be any signings announced within the next couple of weeks? So I think we've already covered that.
I think Holy will be announced this week if it happens, unless he changes his mind, yes.
Yeah, we need some nicknames, suggestions for Holy. The big check in the net is not getting it done. Stephen Fuchs, will the new shirt be a surprise to your good selves, or have you had a sneak preview? Stuart Watson, the kit. What can you tell us about the kit?
No comment.
Well, it's blue. but we're expecting that shortly, Stu, can we say?
Yes. Yeah, it'll be on the horizon. I think the club are keen to drop it.
At a moment.
Yeah, I don't think they want any kind of real build-up to it. I think they want people just to kind of log on one morning and it'd be like, oh,
be amazing.
The kit's out.
Yeah.
So, and they're doing something around the launch of the kit this year, which will be quite fun, that Andy and I will be involved in, amongst others, so which I'm very much looking forward to. And I wish I could talk more about it now, but I can't.
Watch this space.
In terms of what I've heard about it, I think that there's a couple of things that people will like about the kit. And
yeah.
That's all I can really say. Sorry to be a tease, but you won't have to wait too much longer.
Tantalising. We'll move on. Next question from Chris Miles. Last season's hot take strike rate was on a par with Town season. Fair. Any hot takes for the forthcoming season, apart from Town being undefeated and promoted by Christmas, which is what I continually repeat. Any hot takes?
I'm just going to keep going with the super pessimistic hot takes that Ipswich Town
are going
will be
down.
Absolutely rubbish. Yeah,
yeah,
get relegated.
Yeah.
In the hope that again, I'm spectacularly wrong.
Yeah, as we were this season. Roscoe, gives a hot take next season.
We'll actually score some goals.
Well, they scored some goals this season.
Not many, though.
How many are you talking? Give us a number.
At least have like a 20 goal, you know, goal.
We're going to have a mythical 20 goal season striker. That's what you're saying. Yeah. Who's it going to be? Someone who's not yet on the books.
Yes.
Boy Drinan, obviously. It's a good one. Harvey Davis.
Friend of the show.
Number, I think he's 4 or 5. Hutchison here, so I haven't got the list, Harvey, so apologies if I've numbered you wrong. He asks, what's the nicest restaurant you've ever been to and why? I'm mixing it up a bit. Well,
you're our resident food critic.
I've got several, Harvey. The nicest restaurant I've ever been to, I'd probably say the Midsummer House in Cambridge. That's a 2 Michelin star restaurant. That is amazing. Had one of probably the best meal I've ever had there. Tasty menu, flight of wines. Le Gavroche in London. That's 2 Michelin star. That's very nice as well. That's Michelle Roux's gaff. There's a really nice one down in Cornwall in Padstow called the Fish Kitchen. That's a Nathan Outlaw gaff. That's lovely, very minimalist kind of tapas style fish dishes. Paul Ainsworth in Padstow, the famous fairground dessert. That's definitely worth checking out as well. I'd say probably Midsummer House. In terms of Suffolk restaurants, if you're looking for somewhere really nice to go, Tuddenham Mill, mate. You can't beat Tuddenham Mill in Suffolk. Have the tasty menu, get yourself a flight of wines, and stay in one of their rooms because they're beautiful. Midsummer House, if you're looking for a really special. I mean, it's going to set you back like 400 notes, but it's worth it, in my opinion.
Ross, Burger King or McDonald's?
I was going to chip in with that, actually.
Yeah?
Bit of Napoli. You know, if you're in Ipswich, it's free. You can choose from Woodbridge Road, Duke Street, and one in town. So
what's that? Bella?
Bella Napoli.
Bella Napoli?
Yeah.
What's that?
Italian.
Okay. There's 3 of them in Ipswich, isn't it?
It's 3, yeah. Yeah. I think it's going to be 4.
What would you recommend?
It's a nice pasta.
Yeah.
Penne al Pasquale.
Penne al Pasquale?
Yeah. Very nice.
Brother of Joe.
Yeah.
Stewie, you like your food. Come on.
Macadies, by the way.
Where's your go-to restaurant?
I'll come across as very ignorant. I can't think of anything to throw in the mix for this one.
Where do you take
Mrs. food, man?
Where do you take the girl for a special meal?
Where have we been recently? I can't think off the top of my head, mate. You're our food, man.
I've done enough for all of us there.
Can we plug your... Have you got any sort of social channels for your food reviews?
I haven't, no. Just hit, follow me on Twitter and I'll drop some reviews. I went to a really nice restaurant the other day, actually, the Mulberry in Thetford, which I know is across the border and a very unlikely place for a decent restaurant. But it's well worth a visit. Brewer's Arms in Rattleton as well. Outstanding. My highest rating so far. Anyway, enough of food because it's making me hungry. Stuart Spall, do you think Harry Wright will end up being another Michael Crowe? A goalkeeper who will hang around for a long time, but no one trusts enough to put in goal. Have you seen much of Harry Wright play?
Not a huge amount.
You must have, Ross.
And yes.
Yeah, Ross has seen a lot more of the youth team games, as has Andy. From what I've seen, he's very good with his feet.
Mm-hmm.
His distribution is excellent. I've seen a few 23 games and he was really arrowing low-flighted balls into the path of on-running strikers and his distribution was excellent. And I think the way that Ipswich are going to try and play under Lambert with the centre-back splitting down the side of the box and trying to play out from the back, that could be a good thing. He's probably a little bit undersized for a goalkeeper. You know, we've been talking about 6'9", Thomas Holy. He's
probably just 6 foot, maybe. Maybe less than that, maybe.
Yeah. I don't know.
Is he that small? Because his dad's a big bloke, isn't he, Richard?
But yeah, I wouldn't say he's a standard size for, like, you know, a keeper maybe at that range, but he's not so tall.
Small end of the range.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. He's confident, lads. I think he needs to go out on loan and get some experience. I don't know if Lambert will trust him to be number two this season.
That ties into what you're saying, is about Holy being brought in probably as a number two.
I think Holy is a Gherkin replacement, and I think if Bart goes, there will be a replacement for him, which would leave Harry as third choice, and as Ross says, probably another loan. You know, he went out to Chelmsford and did well there at the back end of last season. Maybe a
step up from the previous loan as well. So
maybe something similar again if he can.
Just keep him away from Twitter. Matt Thomas.
Friend of the show.
Number 5.
Oh, I didn't put any effort into that. I'm sorry.
Come on. Wondering what kind of figure you feel might be available to spend this summer. I know freeze might be the way, but do we have any cash to buy with? So what you're saying? Because you've previously gone on record, I think both of you have, and said you don't think Tanner are going to spend any money at all this summer.
I think it would be a sell to buy scenario, if it is that. Otherwise, it will be predominantly Bosman's freeze. I know Lambert said he's very keen to steer clear of loans, but you know, I think there might be one, two maximum. But yeah, you know, if suddenly you can get a bit of money in for Bart, then that might change the picture a little bit in terms of spending.
Okay. Mr. G, Mr. McBear, our old friend on Twitter, says, I've seen tweets saying Gherkin was mouthing off at the end of season dinner. Do you have any insight? Obviously, those tweets are out there if you look at the ITFC timeline, so that's not breaking any news. Have you heard anything about that, Stu? Is that something that you've...
No, I've seen the same tweets. Yeah. Can't add anything to that.
No, we weren't there, so we wouldn't know. If you do know any more, by all means. Where are we? Arthur Pickthorne, King Arthur. Do you think we'll end up having to sell to buy? Yes. The squad is still too big, and some more exits would free up space on the wage bill. So, yeah, basically what Stu just said, Arthur.
We're down to 34 professionals now.
That's still a lot, though.
At the peak, it was 49. That's a bit of a misnomer, because a lot of those are first-year young pros. You're including people like Dobber and McGavin, who are still a million miles away from the first team, certainly being first-team regulars at the moment. That's reduced to 34 now. You've got six loan players that have gone. You've had the 10 players that have been released. That's still a big squad, but probably of that 34, 20, 21, 22 of those would be what you'd describe as senior first team players, which is a reasonable number. I think most managers want two per position. That's the sort of what everybody's aiming for, isn't it? So I can see some departures. You know, if they can go out and get one or two strikers, then I look at that and you wonder if that pushes someone like Caden Jackson, for example, further down the pecking order. If you're playing one up front, it's been pretty clear that Caden Jackson is not a lone striker. He's done his best in a two. If Ipswich aren't playing as a two more often than not, they might keep him around as a sort of an impact sub who can come on if you want to switch up formation mid-game. But if one or two strikers come in, then there's every chance that, you know, maybe... I'm not saying a permanent departure, but I could see sort of a loan out for somebody like him. You could see someone like Danny Rowe or Jordan Roberts, if they're, you know, not fancied by Paul Lambert, why keep them hanging around? You know, might try and move on a couple of fringy players like that. Janoi Danasian might be in that conversation, although the noises I'm hearing is that he might get given a chance to prove himself again after coming back from Accrington.
I feel so sorry for Janoi Danasian. A curious case of Janoi Danasian. It's bizarre.
Summed up last season, didn't
plus
it?
Plus, his name is so good fun to say. Janoi Danasian. Treat yourself.
Ross says it slightly differently. Yeah, and I think Ross says it the correct way.
How do you say it? Say it.
Janoi Danasian.
No, you don't.
Danasian.
Danasian. That's probably, to be fair,
it's probably how I say it. Yeah.
That's the Danasian. Proper... Danasian.
Either way, it's fun to say.
Yeah.
Zach, what's the situation with Dylan Crowe? There seems to be a lot... Sorry, excuse me. Seems to be a lot of England teams for his age. Seems to be in a lot of England teams for his age, and is a similar age to the fullbacks up the road. Is it an attitude problem, or is he just not quite good enough? Dylan Crowe.
Pass. I think they're still looking at a contract situation with him. Right back, Ross. I've never seen him play, so I can't comment.
I think there could be an attitude problem there a little bit. He's one of those lads who is just confident on social media, loves to show off his stuff. But he's got something there. I think he could be another player that we could risk losing, and he could go on to sign. That happened with a recent scholar, Luca Viga. He's joined Charlton.
Yes.
recently, and you know, he wasn't offered a pro deal, and Charlton has snapped him up. That he could be probably playing for a Championship club next year if they win the playoffs. So, you know, if a few other clubs, you know, sniff around Dylan Crowe, like in Germany or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I think it could be a risk there if we, you know, let him go and he becomes a star that he could become.
So. Should just explain the laugh there when Ross says Charlton, because Ross struggles with the word Charlton. I'm struggling with it. Oh, done myself. Made myself look like a proper weapon there. He struggles with the word Charlton.
Oh, it's infectious.
He can't say the word Charlton. And neither can I, apparently. So that's why he's laughing.
You've nailed it now, though.
Yeah.
But Charlton, there was a spell where it was Chilton.
Charlton.
Chilton. Charlton.
Yeah. I think because I was just rushing it. Now I'm pacing myself and I was like, Charlton.
Enunciating properly.
Yeah, he's done it.
Unlike myself. Of course, You mentioned Dylan Crowe may be one of those ones that goes on to bigger and better things away from town. See, Jack Marriott scored for the super mighty Rams. And they took out Leeds. That was beautiful at Leeds. Of course, famously told he was too fat by Mick McCarthy and kicked out. And has since gone through the leagues and doing all right for himself.
That was Mick McCarthy's final press conference. We look back on those quotes after the playoff game the other day. I think that press conference came a day before he walked out, the pre-Barnsley press conference. And I think Marriott hadn't gone to Derby at that point, but was doing really well. And it was clear that he might be moving on. And so Mick sort of explained the reason why Jack was let go. And he said, sort of when he bumped into him again further down the line, where's that little fat lad that I remember at Ipswich? And he was a disgrace when he came back in pre-season. He was getting lapped by people on the runs and stuff like that. It's very easy sometimes when someone like Jack does well to say, oh, another one who's slipped through the net. What is going on here? Would he be the player he is now if he hadn't have gone down the route he's on? Sometimes people have to take, you know, we're talking about attitudes in football, and for some players the penny drops at different stages, and sometimes players have to go backwards in order to go forwards. And I definitely feel, looking at Jack's CV, he had a string of sort of fairly brief loan spells at Colchester and Woking, and, you know, I don't think at that moment in time there was a huge clamour from either inside or outside the club, get Jack Marriott in the starting 11. There might have been a few that said homegrown, give him a chance, he scored goals at youth team level, but I think his is a slightly different case to Jordan Rhodes, who started to get a few sub-appearances and had been prolific. I think that one, looking back, it's fair to say that was a mistake by Roy Keane, but the Jack Marriott one, I think, is a little bit different.
Jack had to sort himself out, I think. I think no one else would have been able to sort him out. I think he needed to basically lose the weight and focus. I think that's what maybe was his downfall when he was at Ipswich, and, you know, yeah.
That was beautiful, though, wasn't it, seeing Leeds beaten like that? I think everyone in football rejoiced. anyway, Dave Gore...
Says the Derby fan.
Well, yeah, but come on, it's Leeds. Do ITFC have any legal obligation to look after Grant Ward with his rehab? I can see him doing his rehab here and then being offered a deal if he can prove his fitness. You touched on that earlier, Stu.
Yes, agreed.
Yes, excellent. Move on. Thank you, Dave. Jonathan Cook can't... Oh, no, hold on. He's answering a question that someone has asked there, so we can't have that as a standalone question. Ross Wishart, do players have a say in contract extension clauses? As an example, I would have liked to see Ward stay on. However, the club has decided not to activate the extension clause. Is this purely the club's decision, or would the player have a say?
We've never really fully got to the bottom of this. I think the Alan Judge situation was the one that made us question it. A few months ago, I was led to believe, you know, I would have sat here and said, no, the option is always in the club's favour. So these 12-month extension option, it's up to the club. They either take it or they don't. Player has no say in it. But I think the Alan Judge one, it became clear that there was a bit of the option was both in the player and the club's. The option was, you know, a bit of both for player and club. And I think as time goes on, that sort of pendulum swings nearer towards one or the other. So they're very, very complicated contracts these days. But more often than not, it's up to the club, I think.
Okay. Barney Booth, he asks about Holy and the chance of him being the starting keeper and this, that and the other. But we've already covered that. He also asks, could Judge be part of a midfield three in a 4-3-3, or is he destined to play out on the wing?
I'd like him through the middle. I think, you know, he made a big thing of the reason that he wanted to leave Brentford is he was getting frustrated playing out wide, and certainly post-injury how his game's changed and he might have lost a little bit of pace. And the tip of the diamond is where I think most people were seeing him being the centrepiece of the team. But needs must, with Freddie Sears injured and not many wide left options, he's ended up finishing the season there. And I look at the squad at the moment, and unless they go out and sign a left winger, then I think, you know, he's going to have to be the one that continues playing on the left there until Freddie's fit again. That's going to be probably November time before Freddie's fit and firing again. That's not ideal. Would he play in a midfield three? I think he could play in there, definitely. I'm not convinced he will.
Time will tell. Ollie Magnus, is the Norwood signing really close, or is it just speculation? Any inside scoop? I've heard question marks about his attitude, but we need a goal scorer and he fits the bill perfectly, and that would be a strong signal that we mean business. So we've already discussed Norwood, we think.
Andy's your man on this one, but this Andy's has been in the pipeline for a little while.
Yeah.
He's Andy would he keeps using the phrase, he'd be surprised if it doesn't happen.
There you go. Martin Bosanquet, almost as much fun as Danasian to say. Of the players not on the retained list, are there any of them the club may want to sign on a different deal instead of taking up the option on their contract? So I guess he's talking like pay-as-you-play. So
Collins would probably have been the only one,
yeah.
You know, if he can prove his fitness further down the line. I do wonder, we talked about the four centre-back options, Chambers, Nsiala, Wolfenden and Darba, whether they just need one more experience centre-back in there. You know, you talk about goal scorers win you matches and defenders and defences win you titles and championships and promotions. Nsiala, Chambers, is that the right combo or one of those and one of the young lads to add a bit of a ball playing?
Well, Chambers isn't going to play every game, is he, next season? Nsiala's not because he'll get banned.
He'll be 35 in September, Luke Chambers, yeah. And Lambert's already talked about him and Scoos not necessarily starting every week. I just thought Collins took a bit of the load off of Luke Chambers, both in terms of game time and experience and leadership off the pitch. So I'd have loved, you know, if James Collins was fit, he would be head and shoulders above in League One. But it's going back to that gamble again. Maybe it's something they'll revisit further down the line.
We shall see. Peck and Blue simply asks, what feels like love to you?
What feels like love?
Feels like love to me. When my dog comes up to me and sits on my feet. That's what feels like love to me, Peck and Blue. He's heavy, though, so it quickly feels like pins and needles. Daryl, D. Jones Jax.
Friend of the show.
Fitting effort for friend of the show number one. He wants to know, how many corners out of 10 could you each bend into the net? He says, an open net. So you're just taking a corner and you're trying to bend it in.
From a corner?
From a corner.
I presume I can take it from my chosen side.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, this is something they do on Soccer AM, isn't it? So what are you saying? How many do you reckon you could get in out of 10?
One. Zero off my left peg.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe two?
Yeah.
Two or three on a good day?
Yeah. I think I echo Stu. Depends, yeah, on the day. I probably wouldn't even get to the box.
This kind of needs to happen, and that is actually what Daryl says. He says this needs to happen as a KOA challenge, # bend it like Clapham. That'd be quite good fun, actually, if we could get a chance to have a go at that. Jamie Trott says, all right, lads, just wondering if you could promote the Down Under Derby for us, and if I score a hat-trick in the game, can Stuart Watson put in a good word for me with Sir Lambert of Portman Road? Cheers.
The Down Under Derby.
Yeah, well, I did reply to him and say, what is the Down Under Derby? I assume it's some kind of match in Australia.
Ipswich v Norwich fans in Oz.
We want to promote it a little bit, don't we? I need more info, Jamie. But unfortunately, you've not got back to me in time for me to promote it. So
good luck.
Let us know. Yeah, I mean, obviously, if it's not this week, let us know about it and we'll plug it next week. And then a final question from someone who calls themselves, who will survive the end game? That sounds very fatalistic.
Avengers.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you who doesn't survive it. No, I won't be that guy. I've not watched it. I've got no interest in it, but I'm aware of...
Me too. Yeah.
I've no idea.
I've been spoiled as well.
I won't be that guy. Yeah. Given that Mark is currently sitting here and he's done very well to give nothing away with Game of Thrones. He's watched it. He's not even said whether he liked it or disliked it.
I know how annoying it is if you get a spoiler, so yeah. I'm not gonna mention anything to do with it. Although, no, I'm not going to say. So anyway, who will survive the end game wants to know. Final question of the week. Fish fingers or fish cakes?
Fish finger sandwich, you can't
beat. Standard, yeah.
That is like, that's go-to filth snack, that is.
Yeah.
White bread, fish fingers, ketchup.
I've got to say, I don't often eat fish fingers, and I recently had fish fingers for the first time in years, and I was thoroughly underwhelmed.
Really?
They weren't near as nice as I remember them. Fish cakes, however, delicious. A little bit of leek in there. Lovely.
It's the we've summed up in this podcast the difference between you and I when it comes to food.
Yeah. I'm a hoity-toity, up my nose, toff. I should really like Aldbrough. I'm a food snob. I think it's the best way to describe me. I'm very happy about it. I think that is it for mailbag this week. Yes, it is. So then, what are we at running time, Ross?
It will be an hour just now.
You are recording this, aren't you? Let's just...
Yes.
Yeah. You had to check. I'm slightly worrying. So an hour. That's a good time probably to bring matters to a conclusion. Anything else to discuss before I do the usual rambling outro?
No other business.
No other business. Roscoe?
No other business.
Super. Well, all is left for me to say is thanks very much for joining us. Thanks very much to IO Radio, Ipswich Online Radio, for the use of their bunker. And hopefully you're enjoying our greatly improved sound levels and hearing the Doctor's voice in full flavour audio.
Oh, yeah.
Please do hit subscribe on your various podcast providers and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes because it helps their visibility. We've got a couple of new ones in. I just want to shout out, because we do appreciate them. It also meant that the one that slagged off Hutchie's mailbag vocals was relegated, which will make Hutchie very pleased indeed. Of course, my phone now won't load. But thank you if you did leave us a review. There were a few coming this week, 5-star, of course. Very much appreciated. That's another week in the books. As you say, keep an eye out for potential kit things happening. And also that big-ass keeper signing as well, Mr. Holy Moly. Whatever you're doing this week, have a great week, and we will speak to you again next time.